Good morning.
Acts
3, verses 1 to 10, Peter heals a lame beggar. One day, Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have to give you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising with God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Nicola. Well, as we come to God's word, let's just pray. Holy Spirit, you are the power and presence of God. Speak into our hearts in these moments, we pray. Amen. Change, change, change. In the next month, the election will bombard you with calls for change. Change, change, change may well have been the cry of this lame man as he begged at Peter's feet. And change, change, change is what you would have heard on Thursday morning had you been here, as Dan spoke on the change that Pentecost brought to both the apostles and to thousands of new converts. As the effect of Pentecost gathers pace, this morning we are going to see remarkable change in a man, a lame man, a man lame from birth, a man whose life was interrupted by God. This is a story about brokenness and restoration. It's a story of the power of Jesus to rebuild lives. It's the story of a man with a tragic life interrupted by Jesus as he traveled along the road. It's a story not dissimilar to that of the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, interrupted as he went about his business. It's not dissimilar to Philip and the Ethiopian, two men who, for a moment, came together in the providence of God. The lame man was crippled. The Apostle Paul was angry. The Ethiopian was lost. And yet God interrupted their individual journeys and changed the course of their lives. God is able to do great things. And in these early days of Acts, God is doing great things. There's a great miracle as the Holy Spirit is poured out. There's a great sermon preached by Peter. There's great conviction as people cry out to be saved. There's great salvation as 3,000 come to faith. And there's a great hunger as the believers meet together daily. And there are great signs and wonders as the message of the gospel is validated. This is a time of great things. But this day started out as just an ordinary day. Peter and John were going to pray at the temple at the ninth hour. The Jewish day started at 6 in the morning, so the ninth hour was 3 in the afternoon. And people would go to the temple 3 times a day to pray, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 3 o'clock. But 3 o'clock was the time of sacrifice. That was the important time. Now, last week, I saw a video clip of the American actor Tom Hanks. And he was stood on the football pitch at Aston Villa, microphone in hand, revving up the crowd. And I thought, who knew he was an Aston Villa fan? But apparently, sat in his hotel room one day, he was watching the football results. And up comes the score for Aston Villa. Villa, he thought. That conjured up some image of a beautiful house overlooking the Mediterranean. That's my team, he thought. When he got to Birmingham, I hope his expectations weren't dashed too much. Because expectations are easily dashed. And the promise of beauty is easily marred. And this lame man was one such victim. As he looked at others, his life would have seemed a huge disappointment. What do we know of him? Well, Luke doesn't even give us his name. But as a doctor, Luke does describe his condition. We know he's at least 40, but he's lame from birth. The word used is kolos, which means maimed. His feet, his ankles were limp and lifeless and always had been. He'd been broken since birth. His condition? Hopeless. Carried daily to the temple, probably in a blanket. How humiliating. Friends may have carried him. Perhaps his elderly mother was with them. Who cared for him? Perhaps she was still caring for her lame adult son. We don't know. But this was his daily routine. He was a familiar sight. And those who begged had 3 favorite places: the houses of the rich, busy street corners, and the gate of the temple. But the gate of the temple was their favorite place, because people coming to impress God were more likely to give. And the rabbis taught that there were 3 pillars of the Jewish faith. There was the Torah, there was temple worship, and there was the giving of alms, or showing kindness. And so for this lame man, 3 o'clock in the afternoon at the temple gate was his optimum time. But he wasn't sitting at the temple gate. We read that he's being carried to it. Peter and John are heading in the same direction, seemingly walking beside him. And he sees them, and he calls out, "Change, change, change." And Peter stops. And Peter fixes his eyes on him, and he says, "Look at me." But hang on a minute, wasn't the man already looking at him? Well, he'd seen him, but he wasn't looking at him. He wasn't on a level playing field with the able-bodied. He was a nobody. The entrance gate to the temple was as far as he could go, because being disabled, he couldn't go into the temple. He was unclean. He was an outcast. He was nothing. And Peter stopped. He stopped walking, and he turned to the man, and he gave him his undivided attention. Peter stared at him intently. It's as if Peter is saying to him, "Look me in the face like an equal. You are made in the image of God, and Jesus has noticed you." Peter stared right into this man's soul. The man had expected little, perhaps small change, maybe a few coins. That's all he thought he was worth. He couldn't earn a living. He couldn't get himself around. No self-respect, no self-esteem. And Peter tells him, "No silver and gold." I wonder if you can feel the disappointment in his soul. Crushed again. A nobody who's worth nothing and now is given nothing. I find it odd that Peter had no money, because in the previous chapter, lots of stuff had been sold and the money distributed to new converts, but Peter has none. But it matters not, because what the man wanted was not what he needed. Just take hold of that for a moment. What the man wanted was not what he needed. God knew that, and Peter knew that. And so with his gaze fixed on him, in Pentecostal power, Peter utters these life-transforming words. In the name of Jesus Christ, walk. One name, one word. One name, Jesus Christ. The wonderful, beautiful, powerful name of Jesus. The name above every name. The name of Jesus, the name before whom every knee will bow. One name and one word. No question, no discussion, just one word. Walk. In the name of Jesus, walk. And Peter holds out his hand and he helps him up. And immediately his feet are strong. Immediately. It's not a process. No physiotherapy needed. It's instant. The ankles didn't need time to strengthen. The feet didn't need to learn to walk. He could stand. He could walk. He could jump. He could leap. He could probably even speak properly. That's the power of the name of Jesus. The power to restore and the power to make whole in an instant. And what's the first thing he did? Did he prostrate himself before Peter with gratitude? Well, he held on to Peter, but he goes straight into the temple. Straight to the one who had healed him. It's not Peter, it's God. And he goes leaping and jumping and praising God. And why not? If you've got something to shout about, then shout about it. There's no shh, we're praying. He's got exuberant celebration on his heart. He's having a right old boogie. This is all quite fantastic. But here is the point. The point is that all the people recognized him. They all recognized him. They recognized him and they were filled with awe and wonder. And that's the point. This healing gave Peter the opportunity to preach the gospel to thousands more. The healing was not for healing's sake. The healing was for the audience it provided for the gospel. So a man is stopped in his tracks, stopped by the power of God. His dull routine of life interrupted. Interrupted in a minute, interrupted in the glance of an eye. But it's interrupted to bring glory to God. And God can do the same for you. God can interrupt your life at a moment's notice. You have no idea what God has in store for you. He might just be about to upset your normal routine. He might just be about to break into your life. It happened to David, the shepherd boy. Became king. It happened to the fishermen, an apostolic calling. You might be interrupted to receive as the lame man. Or you may be interrupted to give, as with Peter. Because Peter and John were not miracle hunters, they were just going to pray. But in that moment, the Holy Spirit moved in Peter's heart to act. Peter walked into a situation that God had prepared in advance for him. He'd prepared it in advance. Ephesians 2:10, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. God had prepared this encounter. And God has prepared your steps this week. You are going to walk into what God has already prepared for you. And this morning might be that moment. It might be the moment that Jesus catches your eye. Perhaps you came in with low expectations. Maybe you think I'm a nobody, and nobody notices me. I come in unnoticed, I go under the radar. But God notices you. God sees you. And this morning God comes to you and holds out his hand to raise you up and to make you whole. Maybe like this man, you're going nowhere. And what you're looking for is not what you need. What you need is the restoring power of Jesus. What you need is the walking and leaping and praising God that only he can bring. This man had no life, and you may feel the same. But God has prepared for you a future into which he invites you. He invites you to join him, to rise up, to look him in the eye, and to know the fullness of his life. This is the power of the Pentecostal gospel. This is God bringing healing and wholeness. So he calls us to recognize what's broken and to feel his touch that comes to heal you, to cleanse you, and to restore you. And with that, I'm going to finish for now. And I want us in a moment to spend some time just in quiet to allow God to have his eye upon us and for us to hear his voice. Let's just sit in quiet for a moment. Father, thank you for noticing me. Though nobody else might, you see me. And I feel your gaze upon me. It's a look of love and a look of longing. And I am willing for you to interrupt my life and to change its course. Will you take me and transform me? And make me new, that my heart may leap with joy as you fill me with your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.